Good morning. Welcome back to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. Really glad to have you tuning in this morning and wish you all a very happy new year and hope you had a great Christmas. So this morning I have Greg with me. Greg, good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be back again.
So Greg, we've been talking about a lot of interior elements and moldings and beams and casings and baseboards and wainscoting. So we want to talk this segment, our final segment, about some unique features. And what would be kind of at the top of your list?
I think a couple are. I think we've done some really unique wine cellars, even walk-in, where you walk into like a big, huge area, and we've done them out of glass, done them out of wood, done them out of special racks. We've made them simple to very elegant, very showy. And then I think the next thing I really enjoy in a house is heated floors in the bathroom.
Heated floors, I love those.
Yep.
Yeah, when we did our floor, I did my master bath floor, I guess a year and a half ago or so, and put a heated floor in, and never had one before. So we went through last winter with that, and I could not believe what a creature comfort that is. It is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Just to have that floor warm in the morning when you get up and go into shower, and then after your shower and you get on that warm floor. So I just can't tell you how wonderful it is.
Very nice, yeah.
So wine cellars is a huge deal too. And I'm thinking when you mention some of the various treatments in iron doors.
Yes.
You remember last year we did that project that had the huge iron door with the arch top.
Yes.
So it had side panels that were iron and then two hinged panels in the middle. So clear across, this thing was 12 feet wide or 14 feet something.
12.
Very wide. And the door, I think Scott, the designer, said it was weighed, 3,000 pounds?
Yeah, I think total weight with the frame and everything assembled, it was close to 3,000 pounds.
Yeah. So I told Scott he has to get it down in that basement.
Yeah.
But he was sweating that one because, Scott's been in the industry for years and he kind of knew what he was up against there. And he would keep bringing that up before we installed it. And he was so nervous about it. And then the guys got it down in there fine and got it installed, and what a sigh of relief that was for him. But what a beautiful visual element that
it that was. Added. Really set that off right next to I guess you call it a bar area. So it was that into that cellar room. So that was really nice.
Yeah, and back to the heated floors, they've got systems down now that are really convenient to install and easier to install. And we've been using the Schluter, flooring system.
Correct.
Where you put down this underlay material that's got the grooves all pre-done to lay your electric cable into. And it just snaps right in there so easy. And then you put your thin set down over that, put your tile over that. And really a great system.
It is a very good system. It gives a very uniform heat on the floor versus hot and cold spots. It does a wonderful job with that.
Yeah. I know you went through a lot of training on that in terms of how it avoids cracking of tile and other things.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the old process of how they used to do tile way back. The uncoupling, they call it. So setting the tile on something that will not attach itself actually to the substrate, meaning whether it's concrete or the subfloor, so it could be its own entity. That way it doesn't move and flex with the floor, and it allows it to stay intact as one piece, and you don't see as much grout popping and those factors involved. Dave and I went to a full-blown 2.5-3 day class on just the product itself, and I had a little bit of hands-on, and then we came and did some in-house training with our guys and some other, so that we got the application and the install right.
Yeah, and the thermostats are so nice with those because you program them for the whole week. So mine I have set up for like weekends. I have the floor heat up to a certain temperature at a certain time and then cool off. So obviously if we're going to be in there first thing in the morning to shower, I've got it warmer then.
Yeah.
And then it cools off a little bit through the midday, and then in the evening, it can warm back up a little bit and then cool down during the evening. And you just program all your days, let that thing take off, and don't worry about it again.
Pretty nice. Plus, it's an energy-saving feature, too, mm-hmm. for your home and your cost and your utilities.
Yeah. Now, it's nice to have that because you don't just go in there and turn the heat up and have the floor get warm right away.
No.
It takes a long time.
It's not instant.
Yeah. So it's really necessary to have that because if I want to get in there at 5:30 in the morning, I better have that floor starting to warm up at 4 o'clock.
That's right.
Because it's a slow process, but that'll give it time to come up to temperature, and then it's just right for me. And then when you cut the heat back, you know, the residual heat stays there a while and then gradually dissipates. But it's really important to have that time element involved in the thermostat. So fireplaces, another very important element inside.
Yes. Quite a bit of changing with from the old fireplace, the way they used to be, to the new, adding like a new insert in a fireplace or pulling an old one out. A lot of codes you have to comply with, but that's happening more frequently lately. It's giving that facelift to the fireplace area.
Yeah, I think in the last 5 years, we've just seen fireplaces skyrocket in terms of, you know, people's interests in the projects that we're doing. Because again, it's a huge focal point in most homes. And I've got two fireplaces in my home that need addressed. So I've been thinking about it. And again, I'll need to get the interior designers involved to help me figure out exactly what I'm going to do. But after seeing some of the fireplaces we've done, it's given me ideas. And I'm imagining, wow, what this could look like in my own home.
Yeah.
So I'm getting excited about getting there someday to actually do that work.
Yeah, we've removed like the old brick hearths and put nice limestone down. We've put new faces on and never changed the box and left the mm-hmm. box in and done mm-hmm. a new like stacked stone look to them.
Yeah,
that the ladies have designed. So it's becoming more and more, I think, like you said, Gary, a focal point in that living room that people are trying to update and get to the current trends
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, and whether or not they're changing the fireplace itself, you know, they might be taken done with a wood burner and they want to put a, you know, remote controlled gas fireplace in there. That's a popular option. But even if you're not doing that, just the facade around it, the mantle, the stone treatment, like you mentioned, I'm thinking yeah. of a couple, Greg, where we did, especially in areas with vaulted ceilings where you have a high ceiling in the fireplace, we've made a very prominent, you know, stone treatment going clear up to the ceiling. Yeah. And my gosh, it's amazing the difference that makes in house.
It sure
just
does.
Can't believe it.
Versus like 8 inches of tile around the top
exactly.
and the sides and
yep.
a simple
mm-hmm.
mantle when you do yeah. that accent. Yeah. Really
yeah,
adds
so,
to that room.
Yeah. If any of our listeners have a fireplace and you need some strong visual element to really add a boost to, you know, just how that room feels, that's the way to go. I mean,
yeah.
it's amazing what a fireplace can do. Yeah. So anything else? Any other ideas in terms of interior treatments?
Really, I just think having a designer tie all of that together versus like a standalone fireplace and maybe buildings over here or there, just incorporating all those ideas or that style into one shape so it kind of flows for the house and fits your lifestyle is really important to do. You know, Gary and myself, we've been building for a long time, but the ladies in our department really do a great job with that. I mean,
yep, that's right. So, design is so important to tying all those elements together.
Yep.
So, Greg, it's been great having you on this morning. We've been talking, in case you tuned in late, just about the interiors of homes. And this is our Know Your Home series. And again, I'm Gary with Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers right here in Columbus. And you can reach us by email at info@davefox.com or go to davefoxradio.com. So we appreciate all of you listening. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 8. Good morning. Welcome back to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas and really happy to be with you here right between the holidays and wishing you all a happy new year. Hope that you had a great Christmas time. So, Greg, we're talking about the interiors of homes, and this is our Know Your Home series. And in case you're just tuning in, talking to Greg Rice, he's our production supervisor at Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers. So Greg's over the whole production team, and that's what, 30 people or so?
Yeah, 30 plus now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So production, setting up schedules and stuff is so nice because nothing ever changes, does it?
Never.
Actually, that's, say that tongue in cheek. It's like, yes, every day something changes.
And sometimes by the minute, Gary.
So you set up all the dominoes in the morning, and then you got to rearrange them,
yep,
you know, mid-morning and at noon and mid-afternoon.
Yep, because somebody comes along and flicks one of them, and you know what happens. It causes a chain reaction.
Yeah. Yep, so that's a challenging role, and with the number of projects we have going on at any given time, I know you, that keeps you and Dave very busy keeping track of all that stuff.
It does.
So we appreciate all your efforts. So now we're talking about the interiors, and we've talked about moldings, wainscoting, chair or crown moldings, and the difficulty of going up against ceilings that usually are not flat. And now we want to talk about some of the other interior wood treatments, like the casing, door and window casings, and moldings and base molding, and some of the other interior treatments. So what's your, have we done any projects recently that have really caught your eye that you thought were really cool?
Yeah, you know, Gary, we get into some of the older homes in Arlington, Worthington, wherever it may be, Bexley, and we get into some of these really different profiles when it, yeah, comes to wood, to where they were made and shaped, not from a real, like a production lumber yard, but from the guys on in the field. They, mm-hmm, made them when they were there. They took the, whatever it was, yellow pine or ash or whatever, and they made their own moldings. So some of them are 11 and a half inches tall with this intricate detail above it. And we do a lot of that. We match a lot of that, which is very difficult to do. I've seen our guys in the shop get something very close to the profile, and then they have to do some more work to it and add this or do that or put it through our shaper. And, mm-hmm, and or sometimes we just can't do it, so we take a profile of it, make a profile. We send it off to our specialty lumber yard, Keim Lumber, and they will actually cut us knives that will cut the wood to that actual profile.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's an expensive way to go to have that done, but it does get it if someone's really exact. If they want something to the nth degree, they'll, yeah, make it for us.
Yeah, and when you mentioned Keim Lumber up in Charm, Ohio, which I love, yep, to go up to that store because it's amazing. And, you know, with me building guitars as a hobby, I love exotic woods, and they,
oh,
have,
boy,
a great exotic wood collection up there. So if any of you listeners love wood and love to look at beautiful wood, that just kind of gets in your blood. You go up to Charm, Ohio, to Keim Lumber, and my gosh, you know, your mouth will water when you look at all the stuff up
there. It will. They have an amazing selection, and you'd think being where they are, they're in the backwoods, but they are very automated with most of their equipment and everything that they do, and they just do a wonderful job, and they're great to work with.
Yeah, that's true. So you were mentioning these custom moldings and shaper cutters and stuff, and yeah, we do have a nice shaper in our shop, yep, and we've got different cutters, and sometimes we can match, you know, run something through two or three times with different cutters to kind of match a profile.
Match that profile, yep.
But then, as you mentioned, you know, we could have Keim Lumber create a custom set of knives and cut something just exactly to our needs. We,
exactly,
could send them up a sample of some ornate base or casing molding that we need to match.
Yep.
And that reminds me, looking through Keim's book, you know, they've got this, these like molding and baseboard profiles out of their standard book, and then they've got all these custom profiles that they've made. So it's all the people that have had knives made, you know, to match custom profiles. And there's pages and pages of profiles for, you know, casing and baseboard. And just when you think of all the different profiles and all the different moldings that are out there in homes, and then we run across one where we can't even find it.
It's, yeah,
there. So really, it's just it's limitless how many designs there are,
yeah,
to match, yeah, custom moldings. And oftentimes it's going to be in Victorian Village, German Village, some of these areas that have these older ornate,
yeah,
homes with a lot of specialized moldings.
Yeah. Some of those have two and three different trim applications on top of a piece of you know, simple baseboard, and it can get very intricate.
Yeah. But those elements are what make those homes stand out.
Oh.
Just the charm and the beauty that you see there.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's a lot of more available moldings that will still give a great look, you know.
There's again, any of your lumber yards, not just Kimewell, will carries a large stock of, you know, anything colonial to contemporary to country to, you know, missionary style, whatever living your houses, you know, you enjoy, that you can pretty much match that style.
Yeah.
Even with a stock molding, it doesn't have to be everything we're talking about when it comes to being really fancy. So yeah. It can be pretty simple as a 1x4 with just softies edge on each edge of it, and trim your doors and windows with 1x4. So
that's true. These design elements can be very simple when they're put together professionally, and you end up with a stunning result.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just the key of it all working together and flowing together and establishing some theme or some statement when you're all done.
Right.
So you take the profiles, the textures, the colors, put it all together, and you can take very simple elements and make them look extremely elegant.
Yeah. I think that's where we really shine. The ladies in our ID department just do a phenomenal job of reading and seeing the home when they go in and picking all that out.
Yeah. So we've got wood beams too, which is a very important and interesting interior element.
Yeah, there's many different kinds. There's miter smooth lock, looks like it's a true beam, but we put it together in three pieces and it miter locks in. It's got a special bit we use to do that. You have what we call like a drop beam, where there's a piece of wood on the bottom that's kind of recessed up from the two sides of that beam. We could do hand hewn. We can make it look that way. We can make it look like it's rough sawn. We've drug beams through the parking lot to make them look old.
Greg, tie this beam on the back of your car when you go home tonight.
That's right.
In the morning when you get here, it'll be just perfect.
It will be. It's amazing. So, yeah, we've done quite a bit.
Yeah.
We've even done that with our mantles, too, which is a big part of our...
And, you know, you speak of mantles, Greg. Some people are just so interested in their mantles. And I can think of a couple clients who spent days looking for the perfect barn beam or something for their mantle. You know,
yeah.
They would look at all different ones and finally find the one that they loved. And we'd cut that and put it up there. But people get very personal about that sometimes.
They do. They really do.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you can buy some contemporary beams that are made to look hand-hewn, and that they're going to be more precise and uniform. Or you can find a real true 150-year-old beam out of a barn. And if you want to go with a rustic and it's not so pristine, it's got a few character flaws in it. You know, some people prefer that kind of a look for mantles or beams in their ceiling. Yeah.
They now make some really neat concrete products that look like wood beams that are available through our Hamilton Parker, who does that. So there's many options out there nowadays.
Yeah. Yep. So the beams can be either pure facade, or they can have a structural component to them as well.
That's true. Yeah, a lot of times in some older homes, beams are structural.
Yep. Okay, Greg, that's ceiling beams and moldings, and then there's a lot of unique features on interiors of homes. And so this segment's about to wind up, but on our next segment, let's get into some unique interior features. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. And we just hope everybody had a great Christmas. We got a new year coming up here. So a lot of you are probably taking some time off this week and watching a lot of football and parades and all kinds of stuff. So hope that all of you and all of your family is having a great holiday time right now. And I know that we've had a great time with our household, and a lot of festivities going on, and gift opening, and kids playing, and toys flying across the family room, and all that stuff that goes with it. So, again, I'm Gary Demas, president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers, and really glad to have you all listening this morning on this December 30th. So, this morning, I have Greg Rice with me. Greg, good to have you back here.
Thanks. Good to be back.
And, Greg, we're doing our Know Your Home series again. And We've covered a lot of the house, but we're going to get into some interior details today.
Cool.
So that's going to be fun. to all of our listeners, you can reach us if you want to by email, by emailing info@davefox.com. And you can go to, if you want to hear any of our previously broadcast radio shows, you can go to davefoxradio.com. Or if you just want to find out about our special company, you can go to davefox.com. So a lot of Dave Fox going on here. Right, Greg?
Yep. There's a lot of us now.
That's right. So today, Greg, we're going to talk about, well, I will mention last week I was talking with Bob Harlow. Greg, you know him well.
Yep.
From Eastway, we were talking about shower doors, and that's a pretty fascinating subject, all the different types of shower doors and the glass available and the coatings and threshold or no threshold and sliding door or hinge door.
Yeah, it's like anything in this industry. It's become one of those huge selections. It's not a simple door anymore on a frame. It's frameless, glass, yeah. Like you said, many selections.
Yeah. So in case you missed last week's show, you can go to Dave Fox Radio and hear all about that. So, Greg, let's start into our discussion today, which is on interiors of homes. So, gosh, that's a pretty broad subject.
It is.
Yeah. Have you ever worked on the interior of a home?
A couple of times, I think, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
It's actually the part I enjoy the most,
yeah.
Gary.
Yep. You know, I started years ago in this industry doing siding and roofing. So speaking of working inside, especially, you know, now that we're in the winter months, I can remember days, and I know you can remember the same, like yep. Shoveling snow around the outside of a house so we could set up ladders to put siding on.
Absolutely.
Or brushing, sweeping snow off of a roof,
yeah.
Off of tar paper so we could finish putting the shingles on. 0 degrees and the wind's blowing, and that's back when I was young and strong.
And you needed a paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it wasn't much that was going to prevent us from working.
That's right.
But it is nice. Yeah. It's so nice to be able to have some inside projects and work on interiors of homes. And really a lot of our work is interior.
It is.
It's really both, I guess, outside and inside. So in interiors, you know, you've got just the physical characteristics of the building envelope itself. You have drywall or plaster on walls or wood paneling or tile. You've got your ceiling material, which is typically drywall. You got your flooring materials. Finished flooring could be hardwood, luxury vinyl tile, could be ceramic tile, porcelain tile, carpet. There's so many different finishes. And then there's kind of some of the accoutrements of the interior that kind of add some more design-esque elements, like yeah. Molding, special moldings. You're going to have all your typical door and window casing and your baseboard, or you may not have window casing. You know, you might have plaster return on all your windows with no window trim, depending on how your house was built. But then you can add elements like chair rail, crown mold, panel details on walls. There's just so many different things we can do. And I'm thinking, Greg, of an award we just won, a Cody Award, Central Ohio or Contractor of the Year Award, for one of the family rooms that we did, where just took this plain Jane family room and added all this beautiful paneled wall system that went up high.
Yeah,
but left some paint area at the top.
Yep,
it was just such a unique look, such a striking look
around the staircase and everything at that house. Yeah,
yeah, and it made such a revolutionary change in that room that we won an award on it.
Yeah.
So, where do you want to start on interiors today?
Wow. Yeah, you could probably spend the whole show just on crown molding, and going way back to when they used to do it with plaster. On the walls, they'd make a form and, you know, draw a knife across the actual plaster they throw up in the corner and make their own crown molding out of it. Nowadays, we use wood, obviously, less time consuming, but still very difficult. Probably one of the toughest parts of our job in interior trim is, I think you can really tell how good a interior trim carpenter is by how well the joints are and how well he does with putting the crown up, because you're dealing with walls out of level, out of plumb, things not square in the corner, and then you have maybe a ceiling that's not level. Boy, yes. Does it get difficult to make all that work.
And that happens often.
Very often.
Ceilings are out of level.
Yeah, almost every house.
Or if they have a dip in them, you know, because when you're just looking at a flat drywall ceiling, or maybe you got some kind of a texture on the ceiling, those things don't pop out at you. But those ceilings can have big waves and dips in them.
They can.
But when you go putting a perfectly straight molding right up against that ceiling, that's when it reveals all that stuff.
It does.
Yeah. So do you have some tricks for dealing with that?
Well, we do. We have a couple different tricks. One, I think, which we try to do, which is the least evasive, is you slightly build the drywall up in the low areas to come close to the same plane of the rest of the low spots in the ceiling. That's as long as it's not drastic. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a 3/4 inch drop or an inch drop somewhere and it's right in the middle, you're going to have problems with that. So we do different things. We'll maybe set one corner level and square, and then maybe turn the profile just a little bit up or down on the crown. Mm-hmm. We call it rolling the crown so that it'll fit a little bit different, but it won't be noticeable from down below. And that can sometimes make up the difference. Sometimes we get our belt sander or power planer out and we take a little bit out of the top of it in those areas so it fits really snug and tight.
Yeah. Yeah. And that happens. You'd be surprised how often that happens. So whenever crown molding goes up tight against the ceiling, you know, you have a high chance of that occurring at some level in your ceiling, some point in your ceiling.
Absolutely.
So when it does, there's tricks to kind of mask that so that visually it just doesn't stick out at you. And really that's our goal, right?
Yes.
And then sometimes we'll have cabinets and installations in kitchens where we've got moldings going up clear to the ceiling.
Yep, and to the ceiling level.
We've established along the top of the cabinets, we got this perfectly plumb line going up against the ceiling that is not perfectly plumb. And that presents challenges too.
I think what our ladies do in our design center the best is they kind of anticipate some of that. Now, most of the time, if they're going to take the crown to the ceiling, they use what we would call a subrail or base turned upside down and then put the crown on that so that we can kind of cheat a little bit as we go so it's not as noticeable.
That's right. So those are things that we do need to look at in the design phase because it's not a perfect world when it comes to houses and walls and ceilings and them being straight. So since we've run into that a time or two, we know to kind of watch out for that stuff. And when we have applications where we feel like that's going to be a challenge, then like you say, in our design, we're going to accommodate some relief for that or some areas to address that. So the crown molding, like you say, Greg, it's complicated to put on. It's beautiful. I mean, crown molding done well adds so much to the inside of a home.
Very elegant
decor.
Yeah.
So some of the other elements we're going to talk about here coming up next break, after our break, Greg, we've got a lot more moldings to talk about. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, and just hope that you are enjoying this season between the holidays. And it seems kind of like, a different zone when we're between the holidays, right, Greg? It's like there's so much going on outside of work, and it kind of, some of us are working this week, some of us aren't. Some of us are kind of working part of the week. But it's good family time, and it's a good time to catch up on some football games or, maybe some stuff around the house like I'm doing.
Yeah. I think we all do that.
So, Greg, we're doing the Know Your Home series. We're talking about the interiors of homes. And during the last segment, we were talking about crown molding and ceilings and how moldings finish off the ceilings and how that can be a real challenge. And we're talking about also just moldings on and treatments to walls because typically, you're going to have a painted wall or a wall with wall covering, which is becoming a lot more popular now. But then you can do wainscoting or wainscoting. Okay. So which do you prefer, wainscoting or wainscoting?
I guess I've always heard it say wainscoting, but that's just me old school, I guess. So that's how I pronounce it.
So whether it's wainscot or wainscot, it's like niche or niche.
Yeah. That's another good one.
Yep. So anyhow, wainscoting, which is what I call it too, because I'm old school.
Okay.
can make such a huge difference in home too. And what's interesting to me, Greg, is a lot of our recent designs have the wainscoting. It used to be 32 inches high was kind of the standard.
You know, right.
You put the chair rail there, and for years that was, well, go back earlier than to some of the mission style stuff, the wainscoting was maybe 5 feet high.
Correct, yeah.
And then it jumped down to 32 inches or 3 feet.
Yeah.
But now it's going up even higher than 5 feet, isn't it?
Yeah, some to the ceiling and crown molding detail too, up to the crown.
Yeah. And it's just a different look. It's a really cool look. But it's just a little different focus and a different theme. And it's so there's historic value to it, you know, and traditional value, but it's done in a unique way in that it's going a lot higher. So it gives it kind of a fresh new look.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes we paint that. We use two different sheens on the paint, one on the actual wood trim and one on the panel. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we stain it. I think that gives a room a real, I would call it outdoor or warm feeling to the room when we do it with like a stain application on that.
Yeah. And that can be very detailed, a lot of wood framework, or it could be more simple, like just some moldings that are applied over your drywall.
Yeah, we've done that here recently. We've done a couple where we've made, not necessarily like picture frames, but done the frames themselves, put it all together, and then applied that to the wall and then painted the drywall like a semi-gloss. So it actually looks like a panel, but it's, you're not, you know, having to do the additional work to put a panel in it.
Yeah. Exactly. And like you say, the sheens can kind of play tricks and give you the illusion of a more elaborate wall treatment when it can be very simple, really.
Yes. Yeah.
So those are some of the interior designer tricks.
We did some wainscoting on a ceiling, too, at one point. We actually did that. And of course, there's all obviously your coffered ceilings, but we did some like very low profile on a ceiling once. Looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Added a dimension to the room.
Yep. And you mentioned the coffered ceilings, which has really been popular for the last few years. And that makes a dramatic change and difference in a home.
It does. It really does. Like in a dining room or a big living room or something, it really, really sets it off.
Yeah. I can think of a project we did recently in a family room, and they had high, like 20-foot ceilings. And we put these huge coffered beams in there, and it's just amazing the difference that made.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Very nice. I think that one actually had crown molding inside each of those beams.
Yes.
And had its own separate crown molding.
Right.
It's so very nice.
That was a Finnish carpenter's dream or nightmare, depending on how you look at it. A lot of work went into that.
Yep.
And of course, in that situation where you got such a high ceiling, you got to set scaffolding up.
Yeah, we did.
So it's really a lot of work, but my gosh, the way that looked when it was done, just incredible.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So beadboard, are we using much of that?
We actually are. What's interesting is we're using it a lot more as a backer or even as like a wainscoting type of application where it's actually beadboard all the way up to, you know, like you were talking, maybe 42, 48 inches, 5 feet, mm-hmm. with a simple design with a cap on it or a ledge, as you want to call it, at the top of it. We've been doing that. We've also used it a lot in the backs of like build-ins or lockers that we've been building, like in a mudroom.
Yeah, it just adds a texture element there that really kind of helps that become more of a focal point.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So then we go to built-ins.
Those are fun.
Yeah. Because kind of the sky's the limit there. I mean, built-ins can be so effective and so useful. I can think of a home I lived in years ago when my daughters were young, and in each of their bedrooms, I did some built-ins, kind of a desk and shelf area for each of them. And I mean, that was so useful to them.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of areas for built-ins. What are some of the popular areas we're doing?
Oh, beside fireplaces, I think that's been pretty much our number one, and then I think offices are number two, where the element of storage along with functionality both goes in with those built-ins. So mm-hmm. could have shelving, but yet a desk unit right below it as a built-in, custom built to match whatever that, you know, area may be.
Yeah. So really a built-in, custom built-in can be done just as to solve a functional issue that any of our clients are having. And that's the whole idea, is to design this house around them, their lifestyle, what their needs are. And whether it's their children or themselves or a home office or just a family room or space for books or toys or whatever, you know, a built-in can accommodate pretty much anything.
Yeah, it can. We've done some simple ones where they look just like a seat bench, but the lid flips up and
sure,
the parents throw the kids' toys in there and they're done playing with it as a storage area, so,
yeah,
which kind of cleans, declutters.
I always enjoy walking by our shop at our location on Dublin Granville Road and seeing what the guys might be building out there. And you never know what they're going to be building.
No, our designers come up with some wonderful things, and we try to make it look as good as it does on paper. So
yeah,
they're always busy in that shop.
Yeah. So another important element interior is stairs and stairways.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And actually, it makes me think, you know, in my home, which is 30 years old, it has kind of a grand entrance, and the stairs go up to a landing, and then they go both directions. But it's very much carpet and outdated.
Yes.
And it definitely needs some help. So I'm going to be enlisting some of our interior designers to help me figure out what to do with that, Greg. So I might be asking you how to do it once they come up with something.
Well, you know, they did that for me this year.
Yeah.
I pulled out all my old wood spindles and railing and went with a simple spindle type twist, and that's drilled and set right into the cap, and did the same thing up into the, put new handrail on. It definitely changes and dates the house quite a bit. Makes it look much better than the old stuff, 21 years old. So,
well, I'm glad to know you've got that recent experience. I can help put that to work.
It was fun. I'll tell you how I did it.
It's better if you come over and show me how you
did it. You're going to have to get on my wife's list then, somewhere in the to-do list.
All right. Well, we'll just, I'm not... Yeah, I'm not brave enough to go up against Keeley, so
yeah, there
we'll just
you
leave
go.
It as it is. But actually, I love working on the house, you know, and I'm sure you do too. We both love working with our hands and building things, even though during our day job, we don't get much of a chance to do that. But that's why we do stuff in our home in the evenings, right?
That's right.
Okay, so Greg, we're talking about the interiors, and you know, we've got window trim and door trim, which is a huge element too, baseboards, casings, so... we've got a break coming up here, but after the break, I want to get into some of the different window and door treatments. You know, we talked about crown molding, but we've got window and doors, chair rails, so on and so forth. So we'll be right back.